Well, please come with me to the reading which we had, and particularly 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 to 25. That's what we're going to be thinking about. Did you follow it? Well, let's look at it together. What does it say? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, and we'll get straight into it. We have three things to say, 3 points. Point number one, well, we'll take our cue from verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness. Says the Apostle Paul, this message of the cross, the gospel which we Christians preach and go on about, this gospel of Jesus crucified, the message of the cross is foolishness. Foolishness. Anchored at the mouth of the River Foy in Cornwall was a dredger, the Atlantic Bay, and its job was to regularly dredge the river, dredge the estuary of silt and mud to keep the channel clear for larger ships. What did it do with all the silt and mud that it scooped up? Well, it dumped it out to sea. And on one occasion, it sailed off with a full load. It arrived in deep water. The doors in the hull opened, waiting for all the mud and silt to fall through into the sea below. But this time when the doors opened under the load, nothing happened. The load wouldn't move. It appeared to be stuck. So one of the crewmen climbed up on top of the load to get it to drop down through these open doors beneath. And he started moving up and down on the load to get the load to drop. Well, you can guess what happened, can't you? He did get the load to drop through the open doors into the sea below. But of course he was standing on it, and as the load dropped, he fell in with it into the watery depths. And the man was tragically drowned. Now, we might say that what he did was foolish. Because if he succeeds in doing what he tried to do, he's going to go with it. Foolish. It was an accident waiting to happen. It was a moment of madness, wasn't it? He wasn't thinking. Foolishness. If only he stopped to think what he was doing. Foolishness. We know what it is when we see it, don't we? And says the apostle, this message of the cross, this gospel, this message of the cross is foolishness. No sane, right-thinking person is going to believe it. If you believe it, it'll be a moment of madness. And the word foolishness in the Greek is, the original Greek is where we get the word moronic. You know what a moron is, don't you? To believe the gospel, to believe this message of the cross, you'd have to be a moron. It's a moronic message, isn't it? Verse 22, for Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. Jews, says Paul, look for signs, wonders, miracles, evidence to authenticate the message. So, for example, it says in Joel, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Now, those are real signs and wonders, aren't they? If when the gospel's preached, the moon turns to blood, and there are pillars of smoke, and there's fire. Those are the wonders, aren't they? And you hear the Jews saying, come on, Paul, where are the signs? Where are signs like that to prove that what you say, your preaching, is true? We're looking, Paul, where are they? And maybe that's what you think. Oh, if I saw some signs, then I believe this gospel. Well, says Paul, if you're looking for signs, you're going to be disappointed. Because the only sign you're going to get is Christ crucified. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. After all, Corinth, Greece, it's the land of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates. where they said the wise man is king. Apostle Paul, if you're looking to philosophize your way to God, if you're looking to reason your way to heaven, if you're looking to discover some hidden, secret, wonderful knowledge, brilliant insights that no one else could discern, then you're going to be disappointed. Because the only wisdom that you'll get is Christ crucified, verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. This message of the cross is foolishness. Well, it is, isn't it? Think about it. Think it through. You Christians say that Jesus of Nazareth is without sin. Why then does this perfectly innocent man suffer on a cross as a criminal? Doesn't make any sense, does it? You Christians say that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. Well, if he's the Son of God, what's he doing nailed to a cross? What's he doing dying between two thieves? The Romans executed tens of thousands by crucifixion. What makes this man any different? And you're calling him the Son of God. The Romans crucified slaves, criminals, enemies of the state. They crucified conquered peoples. What makes this man any different? You say he's the Son of God. Well, if he's the Son of God, if he's someone who's worthy of our devotion, look at him on the cross. Where's the glory? Where's the honor? He's dying as a common criminal. Look at him on the cross. There's nothing more embarrassing, is there? Nothing more shameful than crucifixion. In that culture, subject of crucifixion, you go over to your children, you put your hands over their ears, lest they hear about these things. This message is foolishness. This whole thing is idiotic, isn't it? And you Christians say not only is Jesus of Nazareth sinless, not only is he the Son of God, but you say he's God. God incarnate, God made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. So he's flogged. He's crowned with thorns. And he's so badly beaten that he's no longer recognizably human. His face marred more than any man. And then what happens? He's paraded through the streets of Jerusalem. He's so weak that he has to be helped to carry his cross. And then when they come to the place of execution, what do they do to your God? Well, they stretch him out onto a cross. And they drive nails through his hands and nails through his feet. And then the cross is hoisted up, and as it's dropped into the block hole, the whole body is thrown forward, it's jerked forward with a tearing and a gushing of blood and bones out of joint. And there he hangs, your God. He's naked, bleeding. He's in agony. You can hear a constant buzz of flies. He's being taunted by priests and scribes. Yep, God's holy servants are the ones who are taunting him. Make sense of that. And there he is, slowly dying in the blaze of the sun. A God so weak that he's overcome by his enemies. A God so weak that he dies. And you ask me to worship that. People claim to worship all sorts of gods, don't they? And you can see the sense in some of the gods which they worship. But to worship a God who is nailed to a cross, that's stupid, isn't it? I mean, that's obscene. To give to a crucified man the same place as the eternal God. Who can make sense of that? That's foolishness, isn't it? Now, graffiti is not a new thing. The Romans have problems with graffiti, and there's some first century Roman graffiti. It's of a man on a cross with the head of a donkey. And another man is kneeling down and worshipping the man on the cross with the head of a donkey. And it has a caption. Alex worships his God. What a fool. for the message of the cross is foolishness. And you Christians say, not only is Jesus sinless, not only is he the Son of God, not only is he God, but it's God who puts him on the cross. You say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. Well, who can make sense of that? If God is on the cross, how can God put him on the cross? So it's not the Jews who are putting him on the cross. It's not the Romans who put him on the cross. It's not Judas who puts him there. It's not Pilate who puts him there. It's God who puts God on the cross. Well, who can make sense? Doesn't that sound a foolish thing to say? Well, okay, all sorts of religions, they all have funny ideas, don't they? They've all got things which they like to keep sort of in the dark. There's all that stuff at the moment about Scientology. They're trying to keep it off the web so people don't actually find out what they really say and believe. But you Christians then go and boast about this crucified God. You don't even try to keep it in the background and hush it up. Says Paul, we preach Christ crucified. My friend, do you think this message is foolishness? Does it make sense to you? Can you really believe it? Do you have to take leave of your senses to believe a message like that? And having said all of that, it's the fact that there is an insistence by Christians that we worship, that we come to, that we live for this Jesus. Now, in a few days' time, on the 1st of May, is the election of the London Mayor. Who are you going to vote for? Now, if you're seeking election, if you want the popular vote, what do? Well, you seek the endorsement of celebrities. If you can associate your campaign with winners, people are going to vote for you, aren't they? Because everyone loves a winner. So on Monday, Ken Livingstone announced the support of 20 famous names. Among them, Emma Thompson, Joe Brand, Billy Bragg, Banksy. And of course, he's got the endorsement of Gordon Brown. You want the endorsement of celebrities, if you're going to be a winner. Well, who's the gospel endorsed by? Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God has chosen, verse 27, the foolish things of the world. Verse 28, and the base things of the world. Verse 28, and the things which are not associated with this message of the cross are not the great and the good, not people with celebrity status. Associated with this message of the cross, by and large, a few exceptions, but by and large, they're losers. And not only that, but the one who is actually on the cross, does he look like a winner? There's no way this message is going to appeal to the masses. It's foolishness. Young people, how many of your heroes are followers of Jesus? This gospel never has celebrity endorsement. And of course, if a message is to succeed, then you need to get something in return. But this message of the cross, if you believe it, does it make you look cool? Does it give you street cred? Does it mean when you say, oh, I'm a follower of Jesus, people immediately flock round you and say, tell me more? Does it promise you good health? Wealth? Does it give you a beautiful body? Does it promise you a beautiful partner? What's more, this message of the cross tells me to give up what I don't want to give up. I don't want to go that way. I don't want to give up all for Jesus. Verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness. It's moronic. It's mad. Do you agree? Many years ago, I went to a meeting in the Guild Hall in Southampton to hear about this message of the cross. And the meeting had been very well advertised. And when I arrived, a little bit late, the car park was full. I thought, oh, fantastic, good turnout. And as I walked up the steps of the Guild Hall, you know, you get those big glass doors you can see through. And I looked through into the main auditorium, and the place was packed. I thought, fantastic, all these people coming to hear this message. And as I opened the door and got nearer, I could hear laughter. And as I looked through into the auditorium, there was a bloke sitting on a stool with a microphone telling jokes. The full car park, the full auditorium, everyone had turned up to hear a comedian. Our meeting was downstairs in some little room with a fairly modest turnout. Most people think the message of the cross is foolishness, don't they? It makes much more sense to go and hear a joker than to go and hear the message of the cross. Yeah? People will pay money to go and hear a joker. It'd be a good evening, well spent. But we need to read the whole verse. Look at verse 18 again. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. My friend, if you think this message of the cross is brainless, if you for one are not going to believe it, then the reason for that is that you're perishing, says the Word of God. Now, sometimes Christians say, and they've probably said this to you, if you don't come to Christ, then you're going to perish under the wrath of God. And that's true. But this word here, perishing, is a present participle. It simply means it's happening now. You are perishing right now. You're perishing today. Now, why? Because, says the Bible, every day you live under the anger of God. Tonight you will go to bed under the anger of God. And who's to say tonight you will not wake up in hell? Remember our man on the dredger, jumping up and down on that load of silt and mud, getting it to drop while the doors were open beneath him? Isn't that exactly what you are doing? Isn't that where your wisdom is taking you? You live without Christ. You break his commands. You behave as though there's no comeback. What are you doing? You're walking up and down on that load, as it were. And the ground underneath you may feel firm and secure. But you see, the doors beneath have already opened. You're perishing now. And without warning, it will give way. And you will be lost. Do I want you to feel better for coming to church? If I'm honest, no. Not if you go on thinking that this message of the cross is foolishness. Sometimes you have to feel a lot worse before you can get better. You have to see that you are perishing. Because if you see that you're perishing, then this message of a Christ crucified will begin to make sense. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's when I see I need saving, that I'm perishing, that I need rescuing from the anger of God, it's then that it all makes sense. Well, let's move on much more quickly now. Point number two. We'll call it the wisdom of the wise. If you think this message of the cross is foolishness, it's for morons, does that mean that you are wise? Is it really absurd? Are you really being clever, thinking what you're thinking? Well, what do you think? Look again at verse 18 and look at verse 19. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, and God speaks, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Says God, you can't get to heaven by being clever. You can't get to know me by the sheer force of human intellect, by the wisdom of the wise, by the understanding of the prudent. There's no A level, no degree in being saved. That way, lies a dead end. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And now Paul, and he's a man of giant intellect, before whom we're pygmies, he now starts to mock those of us who think we're wise. Verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater, the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Oh, people think they're very clever. They think this gospel is a delusion. But it's not the gospel that's stupid. It's they are. When it comes to salvation, they're the stupid ones for not recognizing a message that can save. They can debate all they like, but they're none the wiser. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And he has. Again and again. Bertrand Russell, great atheistic philosopher, many ways influenced a generation. He said, what science cannot tell us, we cannot know. That's a very popular way of thinking, isn't it? What science cannot tell us, we cannot know. Really? Can science tell me what is beautiful? Whether or not my wife loves me? Can science tell us what is good and noble? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? On the Today program on Radio 4 not long ago, they had a scientist, and you could email in any question, almost about anything, and he, the scientist, would answer it. And question after question after question, and the scientist spoke, and such wisdom and erudition and understanding and answers here, and we were dazzled by his brilliance. Then a question came in about origins. It was asked by quite a young lad, a 13-year-old lad, where we came from. And the scientist gave the evolutionary story. And working back from where we are today and further back and further back and further back. And then John Humphreys, the interviewer, he intervened. Because we got back, I don't know how many millions of years, and he said, I suppose before that we don't know. And how wise this scientist would have seemed if he said, yes, we don't know. If he'd confessed the limits of his understanding. But you see, having answered already so many questions, having already become the oracle, his pride stopped him. I suppose after that we don't know. Oh, but we do know, spoke the omniscient scientist. God's made foolish the wisdom of the wise. He seemed a fool in that moment. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a great preacher of the gospel, he went to Oxford, where clever people go. And he preached to the undergraduates this simple gospel of the cross. And they were offended by it. It was an insult to their intellect. It was beneath them. It was below them. Don't you know who we are? Give us something more. Jean-Paul Sartre, one of the greatest minds of the 20th century. He left behind him a trail of broken relationships. Never mind the big questions about life. He couldn't even sort out his own life. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And you see, what's fashionable and sophisticated in one era, it becomes old hat in the next. And philosophy is ever moving on, but it never comes to an answer. It never finds God. It never saves anyone. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And my friend, for all your cleverness, for all your ability to work things out, for all your education and your erudition, for all your understanding of E equals MC squared, be honest, do you know how to live? And the big question, do you know how to die? Are you prepared to die? And the eternity that lies beyond? God knocks all our wisdom into a cocked hat, doesn't he? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? But then at verse 21. God, in his wisdom, has ordained that human wisdom is never the way to know him. It's never going to be the map to heaven. Intellectuals are never going to get it. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom didn't know God. That's not the way to know God, by being clever. On the contrary, the way to be saved, the way to know God is wonderfully simple. And it's this message, it's the message of the cross. And it's so simple, a child can get it and believe it. And it's so simple that those who think they're somebody, those who think they're clever, won't believe it. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom didn't know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached, the foolishness of this message of the cross, to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, and Paul could have given them signs, and Paul could have dazzled them with his intellectual brilliance, but that wouldn't have saved them. So what did he do? He preached the message that does save. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. When we preach a message of a crucified Christ, Jews stumble over it. They're offended by it. The Christ crucified? And the Greeks, they laugh at it. Your God nailed to a cross? But to those who God calls through that preaching, whether they're Jews or Greeks or whoever they are, they find that this so-called weak Christ has the power to save to the uttermost. Christ, the power of God. And this pathetic cross is actually a wisdom far beyond anything that's been conceived in this world. Christ, the wisdom of God. And they begin to see that actually here is the genius of heaven. That the greatest sinner, the smallest child who comes to Jesus Christ finds everlasting life, finds God's salvation. That's the way that it is. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. I thought God was foolish and I was wise, but actually I found out that what seemed to be foolish was so wise I never even tuned into it. I never understood it. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Well, let's gather it all together as we close. Point number three. Let's talk about you being saved. Doesn't matter if you're a genius, doesn't matter if you're born without a brain in your head. It's the message of the cross that alone saves. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached, through such a message as this, to save those who believe. Now look again at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Now it's all in that word perishing. It's a very strong word. So my friend, what's your problem? I haven't got a boyfriend. I haven't got a girlfriend. Maybe I haven't got any friends. Spots? Exams? I haven't got enough money? Bills are pouring in? Maybe it's my job that's the problem. Maybe it's a lack of a job that's the problem. Maybe it's the fact the boiler's not working, and that's really getting me down. Or that I'm unwell. No, maybe I'm seriously unwell. Maybe I've got enemies. Maybe loved ones are far away. But my friend, what's your real problem? Because all those things can be remedied one way or another. Your real problem is that to which you have no remedy. And your real problem is this, that you've sinned. You've offended God. You've gone your own way. You've gone and played where God has forbidden. And it's not just the obvious things. It's the things that you think and say and do in secret, which if we had them up here on this wall, you'd be horrified that other people knew. But God knows. God sees. And that's why you run and hide from your Maker and Judge. That's why even now, as these things are being preached, some of you are switching off. Because you don't want to know. And you're running and hiding. When the first man, broke God's command, what did he do? He ran and hid. Where did he hide? He hid under a tree. As though God couldn't see him under a tree. He thought, if I hide here under a tree, God won't see me. And you think, his mind has gone. And it has. Sin does that. It makes fools and madmen of us all. And it's that same sin-induced lunacy which makes Adam run and hide under a tree and think he can't be seen. It's that same sin-induced lunacy which makes me think that there's our only hope of rescue is actually a moronic message. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But my friend, this message is your only hope if you're to get right with God, if you're to stay out of hell. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved. It's a message of salvation. It is the power of God. Now listen, I've sinned. Real offences demand a real punishment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. I haven't got a remedy for that. So if I'm left to myself, I'm going to, what? Perish. So God says, I have a remedy. I deal with it. So he does what we could never do. And he does it by the cross. What does he do? He sends his son. He's the second person of the Godhead. And he goes to the cross and he dies. He dies the punishing death that sinners deserve to die. That's why it has to be a cursed death. The death of a criminal. It's the death of the cross. It's a death for sins because that's what sins deserve. He is without sin. And so he takes upon himself the sins of countless people who've offended God. And the punishment that they deserve, it now falls on him. Do you see? Because he is the infinite God, because he is the infinite Son, he can bear the infinite wrath of God for a countless number in those hours upon the tree. He can do it because he is the infinite one. He can bear an infinite load and he can do it, compress it into those hours on the cross. And it's he who dies the sinner's death so that a sinner like me can go free. And he endures the wrath of God so that a guilty sinner like me can be saved. And he's the one who perishes so that all who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The world could never come up with this. Is it complicated? Do you need a degree to follow it? One black American Christian, he put it like this. And all of us can understand this, however young or old we are. He said this. He said, either I die or he die. He die, me no die. And that's the gospel. That's the message of the cross. Either I die or he die. If he die, me no die. So you don't come to Jesus. You die. You go to hell. If you come to Jesus, he dies, and you don't go to hell. It's the message of the cross. And that's why your only hope tonight is a crucified Christ, a crucified Savior. We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, Christ the wisdom of God. Do you know, if you come to this Jesus, you'll experience the power of God. A supernatural power. But for all your thinking, you've never even crossed your mind. If you come to Christ, you'll experience the power of God. Because having messed up your life, having sinned, what will he do? He'll give you a new life. And having had a bad heart that beats in rebellion, that doesn't want to know, he'll give you a new heart. You'll get a heart transplant. A heart that beats warmly for him. And you'll be a changed person. Unrecognizable. Christ, the power of God. And if you come to Jesus Christ, you'll understand the wisdom of God. That Jesus takes away my sins. He dies my death. So that means my sin is punished. So God is just. He's justly punished my sins, but he's justly punished them in Jesus. And therefore it means I, a sinner, can walk free to love and enjoy God. So God has justly punished my sin in his Son, and yet I can walk free to enjoy God. God is both just and justifier. It's brilliant. Whoever thought of that? Christ, the wisdom of God. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So as we close, what are you going to do? Are you tonight going to go home and hide under a tree and say, God won't see me? Well, if you think that, then your mind has gone. Or will you believe, Lord, I believe this message of the cross. You died to save condemned sinners. Lord, save me, a sinner. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.